Welcome back to the deep dive. If you're in the world of electronics, you know that getting into markets like Japan and South Korea, it's a huge goal, but it's often less about the tech and more about the regulations.
That's absolutely right. These markets have a pretty significant moat built out of mandatory safety and EMI requirements. Getting your product approved is the hard stop before you can sell a single unit.
So today, we've gone through your stack of regulatory source material to really fast-track the whole thing. We're focusing on two key systems, Japan's PSC certification and South Korea's KC approval.
And our mission here is really to distill the core difference between them, you know, to help you figure out exactly what level of scrutiny your product is going to face.
Right, and to pinpoint the documents that will trip you up if they aren't perfect. We're searching for those insights that save you real time and money.
And just to give you a sense of the scale, Japan's Dean-An law, which is administered by MEDIE, covered something like 457 different electrical products as of late 2018. It's broad.
And compliance is completely non-negotiable. Okay, let's unpack Japan first. The Dean-An law is mandatory. No PSC mark, no sale. Simple as that. But the real insight here is that Japan runs this very clear two-tiered system.
That's the foundation of your entire PSE strategy. It all comes down to categorization. Products are either non-specified, which is category B, or specified, which is category A.
And that's all based on risk, I take it.
Exactly. It's designed around risk tolerance.
So give us the split. How many products fall into that easier bucket?
The majority, actually. 341 items are in category B, the non-specified ones. These are things that are seen as having a lower safety risk.
And for those, the process is what?
It's a self-declaration procedure. The importer or manufacturer just has to ensure compliance themselves. I mean, the government doesn't mandate a third-party test for that initial compliance.
Self-declaration sounds, well, incredibly efficient. But what stops a competitor from just, you know, cutting corners? If there's no mandatory check, what's the backstop?
It's sort of an honor system, but one that's backed by some pretty severe consequences. MEDIE can and does conduct market surveillance. But the really heavy rigor, the full third-party testing, is saved for the 116 items in Category A.
The specified electrical appliances.
Right. The ones with higher perceived safety risks.
Which means they require
mandatory third-party testing.
Mm-hmm.
No way around it. And it has to be done by a Registered Conformity Assessment Body, an RCAB.
So here's the key visual takeaway for you, because the mark on the product tells the whole story. For those high-risk Category A items, you're looking for the diamond-shaped PSE mark.
That diamond is your signal. That means a registered third party has been all over it.
And for the lower-risk Category B items, the self-declared one.
That's the round or circle PSE mark. That circle tells you it followed the manufacturer's declaration path. It's an instant visual cue.
And just to be clear, this applies to components as well, right? The sources mention things like control panels.
Oh, absolutely. Essential components like that have to get their own PSE certification to be sold in Japan.
So sticking with those high-risk Category A products for a minute, the RCAB is the gatekeeper. What exactly do they do beyond just running the initial tests?
Their role is pretty holistic. They do the safety tests, yes, but they also issue the official certificate of conformity. And importantly, they conduct factory inspections.
So it's not a one-time thing.
Not at all. Those inspections are to make sure the quality systems are in place to keep producing compliant products over time, not just for the single unit they tested.
Okay, here's the question every global manufacturer wants to ask. If I already have CE marking for Europe or I've done all the IEC testing, can I just reuse that work for Japan? Is there an efficiency play here?
There is, but you have to be cautious. Foreign test reports, like CE or IEC, may be accepted for PSE. It's definitely the key shortcut available.
That word may is doing a lot of work there. You can't just email a PDF of a European report and get approval, can you?
Right, absolutely not. And this is the critical caveat that can eat up a lot of time. Those foreign reports still have to be verified by an RCAB in Japan.
And they call that process a gap analysis, not just a document review.
Precisely. You're comparing your entire CE package, for example, against the very specific, sometimes nuanced PSE requirements. The analysis will find any gaps, any small differences in testing that need more work.
So you're basically trading the cost of retesting for the cost and time of verification.
You've got it. And the burden doesn't stop there. The importer in Japan carries all the weight. They have to get the PSE certification before anything ships.
And they're the ones registering with METI.
They are. They are the official regulatory representative. They have to maintain all the records for inspection, make sure the PSE mark is displayed perfectly. Size, color, visibility, and even submit annual reports. If Meiji comes knocking, the local importer has to have everything ready to go.
Okay, so we've established Japan has this strategic fast track with Category B. Let's pivot now to South Korea. We're talking about the KC safety approval.
Right, and if Japan gives you two lanes to choose from, South Korea often forces you into the fast one. The KC certification process generally involves a much higher baseline of scrutiny.
More rigorous from the start.
Much more. The toughest certification modes require mandatory factory audits and, crucially, product tests conducted in Korea. There's just less room for simple self-declaration on high-risk products.
So walk us through that process.
It starts with some very meticulous document submission to a conformity assessment body, a CAB. It's followed by product testing at an accredited Korean lab, and then that factory inspection I mentioned. Only when all three are passed do you get your KC Mark certificate.
I've heard the terms KC DOCI Declaration of Conformity and full KC certification. Is that Korea's version of the two-tier system?
It is, in a way, but the line is drawn very differently. A KC DOCI is for very low-risk items. For most industrial or higher-power electronics, that option is off the table. You're pushed straight into the full certification process.
Which sounds like it takes a while. What's a realistic timeline?
You really need to budget for 3 to 4 months, minimum. And a big chunk of that, maybe 1 to 2 months, is just for the product testing itself.
Is there any way to speed that up?
There is. You can leverage the International CB certification system. If you have a CB report, you can often shorten the whole KC process because it can eliminate the need for a full retest in Korea.
Okay, so on the technical side, is there any good news, any alignment with global standards?
Yes, definitely. Korea's EMC requirements, the KN61000 series, they align very closely with the international IEC 61000 series. And for industrial gear, you're looking at CSPR 11 for emissions and KC63681 for safety.
So my IEC reports could give me a head start on KC approval.
They could, but let's talk about wireless, because this is where a lot of people get tripped up.
Radio modules, they're in everything now.
Right, so you might have RRA approval for the radio module itself, but, and this is a big bit up, that component approval does not extend to the host equipment.
Meaning the final machine that the module is installed in still needs its own separate testing.
Yes. The thinking is that when you integrate that module, the overall system's emissions and safety profile changes. So even if they accept foreign reports for the module, the final product has to be tested locally in South Korea by an accredited lab.
That makes the documentation for the full KC safety certification absolutely critical. What's the most common failure point on the paperwork side?
I would say it's making sure the technical specs are perfectly aligned with what they're asking for. The checklist is long. You need the application form, a super detailed bill of materials for all critical safety parts, complete schematics.
And there's a big localization requirement here, isn't there?
Oh, it's non-negotiable. The single biggest bottleneck is the mandatory Korean language manual. Oh. And it can't be a quick Google Translate job. It has to have all the safety warnings precisely translated and formatted for a Korean user.
And for those certifications requiring the audit, you need the quality management documents too.
Correct. That's your proof that your factory can consistently build a safe product. Then, once you're approved, the labeling is very specific. The KC Mark Blue or Gold, the certificate number, and all the product details in Korean.
All right, let's synthesize this. If you're targeting both markets, what's the core strategic difference you need to plan for?
I'd say it's categorization versus rigor. Japan's PSE gives you that two-speed system. Category B is a self-declared on-ramp that can save a ton of time and money. KC, on the other hand, starts at a much higher baseline of rigor, often demanding local testing and factory audits right out of the gate.
But despite the different paths, there is a common thread, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the principle of importer responsibility. In both Japan and Korea, the local importer is the one on the hook. They're accountable to the government. They have to keep the records. They have to handle the registrations, whether it's Meiji in Japan or Kates in Korea.
And we've talked about this evidence reuse strategy. How vital is that?
It's essential for efficiency. Using your IEC 61000 reports for KC or your CE reports for PSE's gap analysis is how you try to avoid duplicating effort and cost. But, you know, it only works if you go in knowing that local verification and documentation are still mandatory hurdles you have to clear.
So what does this all mean for your next product launch? Your compliance strategy really starts with two questions. Is my product PSE category A or B? And for Korea, am I going to need that full-blown testing and factory audit?
Exactly. Answering those questions up front gives you a realistic idea of the lead time and the risk. And in these markets, That knowledge is a huge competitive advantage.
Before we wrap, here's a final thought for you to strategize on. When you're trying to leverage those existing CE or IEC reports, what's the true cost of that verification? I mean, how much time and money does the gap analysis by a local RCAB actually save you compared to just biting the bullet and running a full local test program from the start?
That's a great question.
Especially when you factor in creating that perfect Korean language manual and getting ready for ongoing audits, that balance between reuse and just doing it all locally, that's something you really need to nail down from day one.
It is. Definitely some essential food for thought there. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive.
We'll catch you next time.